All right, church family, if you would, once again, take your Bibles out. Turn to the second chapter of Daniel. Second chapter of Daniel. As we continue the series of messages titled, God Reveals and God Rescues and God Rewards. So this is part two, main lesson that we're carrying with us as we go through this text is this. Only the God of the Bible can reveal the future because he is in complete control even when it looks like he's not. And that's a very loud and clear message here that it's not the gods, the false gods of Babylon that are in control, but it is the God of the world, of creation, who knows the future in him alone. Last week, we looked at how Daniel handled pressure, at least in one part. And so I've got a question I want to begin with this morning is this, how are you under pressure? What comes out? Listen to these instructions. Listen to them. On how to react to a hungry python that is given to Peace Corpsmen who are serving in Brazil. Listen to this. The first thing is to remember not to run. And the reason why is because they can run faster than you can. The thing to do is to lie flat on the ground, on your back, with your feet together, arms at your side, head down. The python will then try to push its head under you, experimenting at every possible point. Keep calm. You must let him swallow your foot. It is quite painless, and it will take a long time. If you lose your head and struggle, he will quickly whip his coils around you. If you keep calm and still, he will go on swallowing you. Wait patiently until he has swallowed up to your knees. Then, carefully take out your knife, insert it into the distended side of his mouth, and with a rip, quickly slit him up the side. Now, how many of us would be able to keep our calm in that life and death situation? How do we handle pressure? In Daniel chapter 2, we see how two different people reacted when under pressure. King Nebuchadnezzar, due to this weighty dream that he had and the inability of his dream interpreters to interpret the dream, to make sense of it, he reacts as a despot and orders the murder of all of the wise men throughout his vast kingdom. He didn't react too well under pressure, did he? Now, on the other hand, as we look at Daniel, who just happens to be one of his dream interpreters, he reacts another way while under extreme pressure. Remember, life and death situation. Knowing his head was on the chopping block along with his three friends, they all bowed the knee and prayed to God while under pressure. And once they received the answer from God, before they ever attempted to go before the king, they praised the Lord. That's how they reacted under life and death pressure. The God who changes times and seasons, the God who removes kings and sets up kings, the God who gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding, and the God who reveals deep and hidden things was the God that Daniel put his faith in. Well, last Sunday we learned of God's infinite wisdom and his omnipotent power in point one in verses 1 through 16, where we saw that God learned that God revealed the future through a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar. Now this week, as we move on in our chapter 2, we're going to see in point number 2 this, that God rescues. Not only did God reveal, but now God rescues the foretellers of visions and dreams. Not just Daniel, and his three buddies, but all the pagan foretellers. Truly, the grace of God it rains upon the wicked and the righteous. Well, God is going to rescue the foretellers in the visions of visions and dreams in verses 17 through 45. I've read a part of that to you already. Now, if Daniel and his friends and all the other dream interpreters were going to be rescued, it was going to be through the wisdom, the infinite wisdom and the omnipotent power of Daniel's God. For only the Lord has the wisdom and the power to reveal the future, the mysteries of life. In much the same way, if sinners are going to be rescued, it's going to take the mercy and the grace of God. And as we know, there is only one way to be rescued from sin, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to me except through, no one comes to the Father except through me." Are you in need of rescue today? Look to Daniel's God and you will be rescued. Now, the first thing we learn about in these verses is how Daniel and his three Jewish buddies responded under pressure to this life and death situation. And that's what we see in verses 17 through 23 in point number A, Daniel's response to God's revealing the mystery of the dream. Now, I've read these verses to you already, but I want to read to you Daniel's blessing one more time just to get that locked and fixed into your head. Look at verse 20 in Daniel chapter 2. He says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what it is. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come and worship the God of all creation, the God of all wisdom, the God of all power. And Lord, we thank you that as we see from Daniel 1 and 2, that you are the God who is ever present as well with your people in their times of need. And we give you praise for that, Lord. Help us to always turn to you as Daniel and his friends did. And Lord, we thank you for just giving us your word that gives us these wonderful truths and instructions. And so, Father, I pray today that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy, inerrant, infallible word. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen and amen. Well, as we've followed the narrative from Daniel chapter 1 up through Daniel chapter 2, what we have learned is that things have gone from bad to worse. And that's the way they're going to be for Daniel and his friends over and over again in their time in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar, as you know, wants them dead, along with all the other dream interpreters and enchanters and Chaldeans in his kingdom. Not only must they tell King Nebuchadnezzar the content of his dream, but they must also provide an interpretation. And as the pagan enchanters and magicians said, this is impossible for man. Only a divine being can do that. And in their opinion, divine being doesn't dwell with men. But we learned that there is a God who does dwell among men, and that is the God of Daniel and his friends. Without divine intervention, they will be murdered. Now, in your life, have you ever been in a position, maybe not looking at life and death, but been in a position where you have come to the conclusion without divine intervention, you will not make it? I think probably every one of us in here have been there. And what we learn that is that when we're in that situation, the first thing that we do is not scream and cry and and make all kinds of hullabaloo, but that we go to our prayer closets and kneel on our knees and we pray to the Lord. That's what we do. That's what we do. Well, for Daniel, the stakes are high, life and death. And so when it was that situation for him, he and his friends, verse 17 says, then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Now, I don't want to gloss over that because I think it's very important. When we're facing situations that are traumatic, recruit your brothers and sisters to pray with you, all right? Recruit your friends, your Christian friends, to pray with you. Because although your relationship with the Lord is personal, it's not meant for you to be alone. You're meant to have the fellowship of other believers with you, especially in your times of need. You know, sometimes things happen in our church family and I don't know about it. And when I hear about it, it's 2 or 3 days later when somebody comes up to me, I'm sitting on the front pew, they say, did you hear about such and such? No, I had no idea. Tell your pastor so he can pray for you. Amen? Not that my prayers are any better than your prayers, but let me know. Let your church family know so we can all pray together, seek the Lord. So verse 18 says this, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel and his friends prayed to God. There's no other way of putting it. Daniel didn't rely on his secular education that he just graduated from for the help that he needed. He didn't rely on human wisdom because that was useless. Daniel and his friends relied on their God alone, who has infinite wisdom, to reveal this mystery to them. They knew, as we do, that their lives were in the hands of Adonai. Don't ever walk outside of your home anytime without realizing that your hands are in God. Your life is in God's hands. For only He alone can rescue the perishing. Daniel and his friends, they serve as wonderful godly examples for the church today. One theologian writes, almost everyone believes that prayer is important. But there is a difference between believing that prayer is important and believing it is essential. Essential means there are things that will not happen without prayer. And I hope we all believe in the essentiality of prayer. And that's a made-up word, essentiality, just in case you're wondering, of prayer. But I think you know what I'm talking about. You know, the New Testament confirms this Old Testament truth. In James chapter 5, the second part of verse 16, the Bible says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You know, and we know from the book of Daniel that this was not a one and done time for prayer for Daniel. Daniel was a man of faith, therefore Daniel was a man of prayer. We know that from Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It was his habit to pray 3 times a day and give thanks to God. Daniel was a man of faith, therefore he was a man of consistent praying. Praying when the stakes were high came natural to him. I believe it came natural to his friends because they practiced this holy discipline regularly. Pray without ceasing. So let's see what happens next. Verse 19, look with me there. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So God quite easily supplies Daniel and his friends with the answer they need. He supplies them with the answer to their petition. The mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Now notice with me how Daniel responds to God's answering their prayer. Look at the second part of verse 19. The Bible says, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So here's a biblical pattern that we see, and it goes like this. Number one, when the pressure is on, and even when the pressure is not on, we need to, number one, pray, and recruit others to pray with us. And then number two, when we have the answer, we praise the Lord for it. Prayer and praise. As natural as it is to petition God when the stakes are high, it should be just as natural to praise God when He answers our prayer. Now, before Daniel requested an audience with the king, with King Nebuchadnezzar, after being given the dream, after being given its interpretation, before he goes to King Nebuchadnezzar to appease him and appeal to him not to murder all the interpreters and enchanters in his vast kingdom, Daniel takes time to praise the Lord. Amen? When the pressure's on, when the stakes are high, there's no better time than that to give thanks to the Lord. It's so wonderful to be given the prayer that Daniel prayed and praised the Lord with. Look with me at verse 20. Blessed be the name of God forever and forever. To Him belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and He sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of You, for You have made known to us the king's matter. Notice with me, Daniel praised God for two things, wisdom and power. And so Daniel praised God for His power, for God's power. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. That's comes by the power of God. Daniel praised God for His wisdom. He said, He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. I've said this last week, but I want to reiterate it again this week. And it's just this simple biblical truth. Our lives are in God's hands. And that's what we learn from Daniel. As he prayed to the Lord for rescue, and as he had his need met, he had nowhere else to go but to God. And the reason why he went to God is because God has all the wisdom in the world, and He has all the power to influence the world and answer our prayers. And the good news is He does answer our prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. And when He does, we should respond with joyful praise. You know, there's some things that I think are very wonderful about these verses, and it's wonderful to know that God is not far away from us. It's magnificent to know that He even listens to us when we pray. I mean, you think about that, right? The God of all wisdom would listen to us as we pray. He condescends to our level. And it's marvelous to know that God answers our prayers as He sees fit. And as we learned in chapter 1 of Daniel, it's because God is good all the time to His people. So always take time to pray, and always take time to praise the Lord, because it's worth it. It's worth it. Now, After he praises the Lord for rescuing him, Daniel then goes or requests an audience with King Nebuchadnezzar and gets that audience with King Nebuchadnezzar, where we learn in point B this, that Daniel reveals the wisdom and power of God to King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, there's a lot of verses here, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read through all those verses, but I'm going to refer to them as we go through this section. Is that okay with everybody? You sure? Can I get a hallelujah or an uh-oh? Hallelujah. All right. So once Daniel thanks the Lord for his revelation of the mystery of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and interpretation of it to Daniel, he then goes to Arioch in order to get an audience with King Nebuchadnezzar to stop the murder of all of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream interpreters. That's what verse 24 tells us. Now, without wasting time, Arioch takes Daniel to King Nebuchadnezzar and tells King Nebuchadnezzar this. Now, listen to these words. This is something, I think. I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. Now, the reason why I make a big deal about that is because it's ironic. Because Arioch didn't find Daniel. Daniel found him. And perhaps Arioch wanted to impress King Nebuchadnezzar and in some way share some of the glory for helping the king. If that is the case, then there is a stark contrast between Arioch and Daniel, who takes absolutely no credit at all for being able to tell the king his dream and interpret it. After being asked by King Nebuchadnezzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I've seen and its interpretation?" Verse 26, Daniel takes absolutely no credit, but instead gives God all of the glory. Daniel, in obeisance and humility, says to King, "No wise man." Now, you know, to me, when I read this, you know, Arioch has set up the stage. Daniel, he says, "I found a guy from Judah who's going to tell you the answer to this dream and everything." And then the first thing that Daniel says to King Nebuchadnezzar after being asked, he says, "No wise man can do this." And I could just sort of see King Nebuchadnezzar go, right? Because he's thinking, "I'm going to get the interpretation and everything." I mean, they're human beings, right? Just like us. How would you have responded to that? "Get the sword, whack his head off," right? You know? But Daniel, I think, is taking a risk here by being so honest with the king. He says, "No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery that the king has asked." But what does he say? "There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days." Verses 27 and 28. Daniel shines the spotlight on the only God that has the power and the wisdom to reveal all mysteries of life. And it's right that God should get the glory for this. The interpretation can only come from the only divine being that exists, and that is Adonai, master of all. Now look at Daniel's obeisance as it continues in verse 30. Look with me there. "But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom." Do you hear that? "Not because of any wisdom that I have, more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind." I believe here Daniel teaches us a very valuable lesson. When it comes to any success that we might have, we must give God all the credit and all the glory for it, just like Daniel. Amen? There shouldn't be a prideful Christian in existence, because we understand who holds the power and the wisdom. In Deuteronomy, which is part of the Torah, chapter 8, verse 17 and following, the Lord says this to his people. He says, "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Behind every success that you and I have is the invisible hand of God at work in our lives. So don't ever say to me, "God's not doing anything in my life," because he is absolutely at work. In every success that you have, it is the hand of God and the wisdom of God that is at work in your life. God says of himself in Isaiah 45, 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all of these things. Therefore, we must not get the big head, but humbly acknowledge the good hand of God at work in our lives. And Paul even writes in Romans 12, verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And I tell you what, we're in a room full of people that do. We just simply think too highly of ourselves. And I'm right there with you. Every time I confess my sins, I have to first of all confess the sin of idolatry. And you know who's the idol of my life? Me. Me. And it's the same way for you. Amen. And when we realize that, then we're more apt to praise the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for your blessing in my life. And that should be a constant discipline of every believer. Amen. That's what I'm learning from Daniel. Well, in verses 31 through 35, Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar the content of his dream. Something, again, that can only take place by divine revelation. And then in verses 36 through 45, Daniel gives the interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Remember, this is also something that could only happen by the invisible hand of God at work. One theologian writes, they reveal a God who is absolutely sovereign in what he knows because he's omniscient and what he will do because he is omnipotent. Isaiah 46, 9, God says this of himself, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. God is in complete control, even when we don't think that he is. And I hope that gives you some kind of sense of peace in your life. Dr. David Jeremiah writes these words. He says, you may not know what the future holds, but you know who holds the future. And since the whole world is in God's hands, your world is in God's hand. And I'm so glad. Now, Pastor David, does that mean that every day is going to be like walking through a rose garden? Absolutely not. Just consider Daniel and his friends. Things went from bad to worse before they ever got better. And so we must remember, God is in control even when it looks like he's not. Isaiah 26, 3, God says, Isaiah writes, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Remember the hymn we sang this morning? How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I had fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, thou rock of my soul. Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. And so, beloved, we learn once again, our lives are in the hands of our good, wise, and powerful God. And even though we don't know the future, we have a God who holds the future in his hands. And I simply say hallelujah and amen. Well, next Sunday, we're going to take up the interpretation of Daniel's dream that God provides to him. So that's what we're going to do next week. We're going to look at those verses a little bit more in depth, and then I think we'll finish up Daniel chapter 2. I'm pretty sure we will. But that's on the agenda for next week, so I hope you come back. Well, remember, only the God of the Bible can reveal the future because he is in complete control even when it looks like he's not. Now listen to this little story. An angel appeared at a faculty meeting and tells the dean that in return for his unselfish and exemplary behavior, the Lord will reward him with his choice of infinite wealth, wisdom, or beauty. Now, I already know which one I would take. Without hesitating, though, the dean selects infinite wisdom. Sounds fitting, doesn't it? Angel says, done, and disappears in a cloud of smoke and a bolt of lightning. Now, all heads turn to the dean, who sits surrounded by this faint halo of light around his body. And at length, one of his colleagues whispers and says, say something. To which the dean replied, I should have taken the money. Would have been no doubt for me what I would have taken. I can always find somebody smarter than me to tell me what to do with it. Now, you might be wondering, Dave, Pastor David, why did you finish with that story? Well, for this reason. Only God's wisdom can reveal the mysteries of life. Daniel makes this fact very clear to us as he prays the Lord for answered prayer. He says, to you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matters. Now, one of the greatest lessons wisdom teaches us from Daniel chapter 2 is that wisdom isn't so much about learning a lesson as it is to have a relationship with the God of all wisdom to be enjoyed. Thus, we end where we began this morning. Knowing God is the greatest privilege in the world. And a wise person would definitely agree with that truth. Amen? Amen. Do you know God in a personal way through the Lord Jesus Christ? That's really all that matters when eternity you're facing. The Bible says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Remember, there's only one God who can rescue you, and that is Daniel's God. Do you know him? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us this time to come together and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your word that guides us in our worship. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that illumines our heart, enables us to rightly divide the word of truth. And Father, we thank you so much for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, we pray today that as people of God, that we will look to you for the answers to the mysteries of life. Lord, I pray that we will give you the praise that you deserve and acknowledge that you are the one who gives us the ability to do all that we do. And so, Father, please just move in our hearts and our minds at this point. And if there is someone that needs to trust in Jesus Christ to make that public profession of faith today, that they will know today truly is the day of salvation. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.